Welcome to Chronic Combat Conversations, a live look at our best bets, picks, and predictions for every UFC event with your hosts, TB Scouting MMA and
The Guru, back again for UFC on ABC3. Brian Teen City Ortega taking on Yair Pantera Rodriguez in your featherweight contender eliminator, title contender eliminator. But before we can get into this exciting 12-fight card from Long Island, right? Before we can get into that, we have a friend in the building, man. A guy, bet analyst for CBS Sportsline, right? He's got his own podcast, Magic and Andrew MMA Betting Show. He's making his rounds today. So if you didn't hear him on this podcast, you're going to hear him on somewhere else. Andrew Gombas, man, thanks so much for joining us, man.
Oh, thank you guys for having me. I'm really looking forward to chopping it up with you. And yeah, I'll be at the card on Long Island on Saturday. So I feel like this is perfect timing that you guys had me on this week. Worked out really well.
Yeah, and that's at Bets and Picks MMA. If you don't already follow him, go follow him now. He's been betting for like 5 years, making money, running laps around fools. So we're really, really honored to have you in the building, bud.
Pleasure's all mine.
Oh, Daz is in the building too, of course. We're going to stack these tickets like flapjacks. Shout out to Uncle Weezy. Hell yeah. And listen, this card is, I mean, sheesh. They got a couple good ones on here, but this main event has really got me excited because, you know, these two guys are kind of like enigmas in the division, and the fact that like they don't really fight as often as you'd like them to, and they're very, very exciting fighters. Isn't that right, TB?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, this fight, I feel like there's so many levels of unpredictability to it that, I'm just so excited to see which way it actually ends up playing out. And, you know, we'll get deeper into our feelings as we get into the breakdown, but it's just one of those ones that I'm so excited to get into here.
Yeah. It's kind of a cliche with the excitement, right? Because we're always excited when there's any live fights. Like I'm honestly excited for the Jessica Penne, Emily Ducati fight. Like legitimately, like I want to see what's going to happen. So anytime there's people fighting, I'm interested. But
it's a stacked card. But without further ado, we got to let the people know who we have on here today, right?
Yeah, we do.
Did we properly introduce our guest? Because
how stoned are you?
I'm struggling here more than normal as I work on getting my feet up. As you guys know, we always have difficulty getting the stats.
But yeah, it's cool. That's kind of difficulty. Yeah, that's kind of what we're waiting for. We're like waiting for the stats. I want to impress our guests with these stats.
Hell yeah, exactly. So as we pull them up here,
now he's seen how handsome we are. Now he can see how good our stats look.
There we go. We got Brian Ortega versus Yair Rodriguez, guys. And right now we got the money line at -165, Brian Ortega, and +140, Yair Rodriguez. And we saw that line a lot closer earlier in the week. I think it kind of rubber banded a little bit. And here we are kind of back where we started. As far as my feelings for this fight, I think both guys have shown a lot of improvements and a lot of toughness throughout their career. So I think we're in for a really good battle here. Ortega on the feet. He's got the counters. You know, he's also got some power. He's got the 5 knockdowns. And, he's going to be the one that I think actually might be prone to knocking down a spinning Yair at some point who's off balance. So even though it might not land flush, you know, we might see Yair on the ground where it's not a full takedown attempt. So can Ortega capitalize? Because he seemed to do so with catching a leg kick against Alexander Volkanovski. It's just, you know, how do you finish that guy? So here against Yair, I find myself kind of leaning in the Ortega direction here, but I've been a little back and forth. Guru, is there anything that like you can kind of steer me in the right direction here?
I'll certainly agree with you that I've been back and forth all week. I came away thinking to start the week that a dog shot might be on board. Who is Brian Ortega to be favored, you know, against a crazy striker like Yair? He's so elite with his striking. He's so versatile, da, 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 da. And then you start like, you know, watching some more of the tape and yeah, man, you watch Brian T City Ortega, man, change his game. You watch him become patient against the zombie, become a better counter striker, more technical with his striking. Is he the best striker in the division? No. Is he even a top five striker in the featherweight division? Still probably not. But he's absolutely improved his game to where before, you know, he was a 38-something percent career striker, and he improved that over the last two fights, even with Volkanovski. So those are things that I take as a green flag as opposed to a red one. Additionally, you know, you watch that Max Holloway Yair fight, and again, sometimes in the narrative you get caught up. That fight was so fucking exciting. It was a great fight, a barn burner. Max's head is snapping back, Yair's head is snapping back, they're throwing kicks, he's flying all over the place. It was fantastic. But then you slow it down and you break it. And you watch Yair, and he's flopping all over the cage, half the time for no reason, the other half the time because he's overextending himself, throwing himself out of position. In that third round against Max, it gets super dicey. Max takes his back. Max cuts straight over easily into mount. I mean, it's a problem. He's trying to get him in a head and arm choke. Max is just not really a finisher. I think Max has, like, the one submission win in the UFC, but, like, you know, if it's Brian in that position, man, I think he gets the finish. So will Yair be more cautious, or will he just be the same guy he's kind of always been? And is he going to put himself in a bad position here against Brian Ortega? What do you think, Andrew? I have a feeling you have a very strong play on this fight.
No, I actually don't. I agree. Ooh. Yeah, I agree with a lot of what you said. I mean, I've went back and forth myself on this fight because on one hand, I feel like you really have to favor Brian Ortega just due to his crazy cardio, his crazy durability. I mean, we've seen him take beatings in the octagon where his opponents are landing hundreds and hundreds of strikes. I mean, the Volkanovski fight, I couldn't believe it went five rounds. The Max Holloway fight, it almost did go five rounds. He's super durable. And you mentioned it as well. His striking, although it may not be one of the best in the division, it is light years ahead of what it used to be. And on the flip side, I feel like Yair is going to get off a lot early here. I think Yair is good. There's a lot of people out there I've seen this week. Oh, he's a fraud. He's this. He's that. I think Yair is a good fighter. I mean, I don't think he has the durability of Ortega or the grappling chops, but he is a solid, solid striker. I think he gave Max Holloway a harder fight than a lot of people expected. So on one hand, I think he's going to have some success early. I think he's going to maybe even win a round or two early, but I think you have to favor Ortega late here. That cardio, that durability, that grappling, he could finish a fight at any time. He's not the best wrestler, as we know, but he does have that submission threat all the time from every position. It could be a standing guillotine. It could be from guard. It could be from top. So I'm really looking forward to this main event. I think there's no way it's a boring fight, and I do expect to finish one way or the other.
Wow. Yeah, that's such an interesting point. A lot of what you said is so true, because when you line Max Holloway, what was he like? Wasn't he like over minus 400 favorite against Yair?
Yeah, I think he closed like minus 700.
That's what I'm saying. So he did not run through Yair like you're supposed to, like you're expected to, Kayla Harrison style, like minus 700 with that pricing. So, you know, you're right. There's no chance that Yair's a fraud. And Yair's with his crazy pace. I mean, the pace that he put on with Max Holloway in that first round, I mean, he went fucking aggro, and he always seems to do that. Like, so it's really hard to fade that. The one thing I do find interesting, and I got to shout out Aaron Bronstadter for the stat, right? And it's in the last 3 years, only one featherweight five-round fight has ended inside the distance, like in that when the guys were in the top 10. And that was Korean Zombie Volk. So every other one has went the distance. Wow. That includes the one recently with Cater and Emmett, where everyone said the fight's not going the distance. And, you know, of course it does. So at plus 100 for the fight to go the distance. And that's what I'm saying. So it's like a foregone conclusion. These guys are going to kill each other. Yet it's only plus 100. So it's like, you know. I it's certainly very interesting. I think the one way we really want to slice it, especially with the way you broke it down, Andrew. What was our prop, TB? One of our favorite, the Chronic Combat Special.
So for one, we were kind of talking about the fight to start round four.
Okay, that's an interesting thought.
To get to the championship rounds.
That's a good parlay piece.
Yeah, it's in like that near minus 200. Guru, something up with your mic or something. I think it might be a little close. There's a little like feedback when you get talking sometimes. I'm not sure if I'm the only one hearing that. But yeah, it's then we also got the over 1.5 parlay, which in this fight, we might have to take it to an over 2.5. It kind of depends on what you're looking for here. So yeah, I mean, when you look at it, you got the Ortega and over 1.5 at minus 105. But if you're addicted to that plus money like the Guru, the over 2.5 is at plus 130. So that's kind of what we're saying. Fight to get the championship rounds and Ortega.
Yeah, minus 105 is like, that's basically, that's fine.
Yeah.
It's really not that bad.
Yeah, not too shabby. And you don't have to sweat it all the way into round three at that point.
But to your point, I do. I think that we see championship rounds. I think these guys are tough as nails. And while like our guest so properly said, Brian Ortega is absolutely a much better grappler than Yair. That being said, I Yair is not a slouch on the ground either. Like he should be, fairly good on the ground. Like he's not, you're going to have to hurt him and really catch him. Like kind of like he caught Volk. Like you're really, really going to have to snatch him in the perfect fucking way, in my opinion, to really submit Yair. Any more to add, Andrew, before we shift to this unbelievable co-main event?
No, I think we nailed this one. The co-main, hopefully you guys could kick us off. Give me something good, because I don't know, man. I have stronger feelings about this co-main than I did about the main. So hopefully I could get a little bit more fired up about it from a betting perspective.
Okay.
Love to hear that.
So yeah, I mean, let's get right into it, because we have our co-main event here in Michelle Waterson versus Amanda Lemos. I think we're going to see some action, especially on the feet. I mean, Waterson, for all of her abilities on the ground, I mean, we don't really see her go to that approach too often. We're going to probably see a kickboxing fight for the majority of this, at least from the start. But, if Waterson was smart, she might try to push that pace in the clinch, might try to take this fight to the mat, because I mean, we've seen that gas tank of Amanda Lemos over and over. It's not that she can't win on the feet or be dominant on the feet when you're playing the distance game, but yeah, you got to make it dirty. So Waterson, is your chin still intact? You're looking jacked as hell at this point. I mean, it's exciting. So the line kind of creeped back down a little bit. So right now we got it at plus 265 Waterson. Lemos is the favorite at minus 320. So we saw it almost as wide as like minus 400 at points here. Closed down a little bit, but like Waterson, I get like these, these little thoughts and feelings about playing it. And I'm curious if Guru is kind of thinking the same thing here.
I mean, whatever Andrew thinks, I think he's going to be able to talk me into. That's probably a very terrible betting prowess to have. But I respect Andrew for one. And number two, it's just like, I'm kind of like dog or pass at this line. Like maybe that's super amateurish, but like minus 400 on Amanda Lemos, who literally shit the bed fucking versus Jessica Andrade. Yeah, Jessica Andrade is a fiend. We loved her to win the fight, but like we expected a fight, not a standing arm triangle in 2 seconds. I'm 2 minutes, but who's counting? So I really expected more of a fight from her. So to have her back in this spot as such a sizable favorite against somebody with that's taken some time off, maybe to heal some injuries, work on things, whatever she's doing. She looks in absolutely incredible shape, and she's a veteran in this sport. And I don't care who she's fighting, she's going the distance with everybody, and they're all like relatively close fights. Or even if they're not, the way these judges are like huffing glue in the back while the fights are going on, they all end up being close anyway. So it's like activity versus damage or versus control. Like she just makes it sketchy. So like, why not bet the fight to be split decision, or why not dog or pass? Like, yeah, that's where I see the value. But I mean, maybe Andrew's got something for us. What are you cooking up, Andrew?
Yeah, I guess it's not the hottest take ever, but I think Lamos is going to beat Watterson really bad. When it was -450, I didn't even really tape the fight. I didn't look into it. Now that it's creeping back close to that -300 range, I'm getting tempted. I mean, on the feet, like, how does Watterson win this fight? I guess hopefully she could hope for like a low volume decision where she kind of just avoids getting hit ever, because the power difference between the two of them is, I can't emphasize it enough. Lemos hits so hard for the weight class. She's has some of the best hands for the weight class too. I mean, I bet Andrade versus Lemos. I wasn't feeling great about it at the time of the arm triangle. Watterson coming off a layoff. I mean, we've seen what she's been up to out of camp. It doesn't seem like she's the most invested in her career at this point. At 36 years old, she's been around for a while. I think her win condition is probably a back take, likely early. I just think between Lemos's power advantages, her boxing advantages, I think she's going to knock Watterson out win a very clear decision. So I haven't bet anything yet here, but I do think Lemos is the side. I think she's going to win, and I think she probably does so in dominant fashion.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to think otherwise, right, when you see a line of that magnitude. I get kind of worried with Lemos's gas tank when, you know, you've seen somebody like Michelle Watterson, who, if I'm looking at it correctly, I guess she's been KO'd once in her career, but I don't see it. Like, it's a loss in Tapology that is not written. So it's very early on. It's pre 2009 when she's getting knocked out. So she hasn't been finished by anybody in the UFC, and that includes Joanna. That includes Tisha. I mean, she gets choked out by Rose, but that was her, you know, third UFC fight. So I know it's interesting. I don't hate it. TB, you seeing anything else that maybe we're missing?
Realistically, I do think that Watterson probably, you know, she has to go to that wrestling path. Don't think it's to win the fight, not to survive through a decision, because you see with her striking defense and like distance absorbed per minute of distance, it's like,
yeah,
it's that she has really good striking defense and ability to manage distance. She's going to be in the bigger cage. So I could totally see how she would survive through a decision. It's just, she's not going to win that way. She needs to be wrestling the entire time to win the fight. I don't know if I can trust that at four takedown attempts per 15.
Right, that's what I was going to say, though. At four takedowns per 15, that's actually, like, that's decently more than you'd expect. Attempts, but that's still more attempts than you'd expect. Right. So, yeah, she's...
No, she's not going to get it done on a consistent basis. So, that's what I'm saying. Are you hoping for a sketchy split? Yeah, okay, mushroom.
Well, so that's... I'm there with you, bro. Right, I agree. And that was the one thing I was thinking, like, I didn't say it because I fucking lost my train of thought, but could Lemos dominate round one, not get Watterson out of there, and basically have a cardio gas, like, you know, 2 minutes into round two, and be cooked? Yeah. And then what? And then, like, Lemos is like throwing lazy strikes, and then Watterson's picking her apart from the outside with kicks, because that's what she does. So it'd be interesting, but, you know, not where I'm looking to lay a big bet. I don't think anybody is, though.
Well, that's the thing. I think if anything, if you were to get the Lemos by knockout at +225, that is pretty crazy value.
+260 on FanDuel.
Yeah, I mean, for the decision to be +100 there, I totally see where that... I mean, it's not like you're playing a juiced -150 on a Lemos by KO. I like that as a value play from Epex and Picks MMA.
Yeah, I do like that too. Hey, listen, Michelle Watterson by decision +420. That's a classic number. So, had to throw it out there.
Hey, there's a couple ways you could go with that one. And any closing thoughts on that fight, Andrew?
No, I think we're closed.
Hell yeah! All right,
we're closed. Let's do it.
So we got our next fight here. We got Li Jingliang versus Muslim Salikov, and this is one of those fights where I've been like vacillating back and forth on the side here, but I think I've settled up for you guys now that we're hopping on the show. We got Li Jingliang is going to be 4 years younger. He's going
to wanted
have...
to say hi to Zhu, by the way. Hi, Zhu. We didn't say hi.
Oh, what's up?
what's up? I want to make sure I acknowledge everybody.
No, for sure. For sure. Hell yeah. Shout out everyone in the chat. We really appreciate you guys coming down here to hang out. We got a great show going on so far. And now we still got a lot of great fights to break down, as we always
do. Yes, we do.
So right here, we got the Leech, Li Jingliang, versus Muslim Salikov. Salikov minus 165, Jingliang at plus 140. I think I'm going with the dog here. I'm super biased. One of my favorite plays was taking the Jingliang KO over Ponzinibbio. So that's like one of those ones that always sits in my mind. So I just want to let the people know there definitely is like some inherent bias there. But you start breaking it down, it's like, who's going to be the busier fighter at distance? Salikov has a way of really drawing you into a slower pace and paying the counter game off the back foot. But, you know, Lee's going to look like the busier fighter out there. He's going to throw the leg kicks and he's going to be moving around solidly. And if anyone's really going to go to the wrestling successfully, I mean, they're both going to try. Salikov actually has been working it at almost the same rate as Lee, but I think Lee's been in there with better wrestlers overall. And has, you know, grappling with Neil Magny is a lot different than, you know, getting, you know, in there with
Staropoli.
Exactly. You know, Francisco Trinaldo at this point, it's like when you're battering him to that extent, you know, it's a little easier to get the top control.
Right.
Zaleski Dos Santos, did he even really win that fight?
Mm-hmm.
I, upon rewatch for the third time, I really don't know how to call it, you know? But yeah, and listen, Salikov slows down as the fight goes late as well. Hell yeah, Mushroom. I'm totally seeing that. And for me, that's why, you know, you're going to give me the dog money. I don't know if it's a knockout. I don't know if it's decision, but plus 140 on Lee, that's where TB's at. What about the guru?
It's a very, very tough fight, like you said. We haven't seen Li Jingliang since he got his soul snatched by Khamzat Chimaev. So that's kind of interesting as well. He hasn't even had a fight book. Like, he's obviously just been working, dealing with that. And then you look at Muslim Salikov, who, you know, at this stage in his career at 38 years old, we've seen I would think we've seen the best from him, right? I'm not sure how much better he's going to get from here. You'd hope that his performances stay as consistent as they've been. You know, that's kind of what you're banking on, I would say, at this stage. I think you make a lot of interesting points in terms of whether, at distance, Li Jingliang can be the more active fighter, or Muslim, like he does, kind of tends to slow people down. You look at his UFC KOs and they're not really against anybody of any elite. Like, he couldn't knock out Trinaldo and he didn't knock out Staropoli. He's only knocked out Nordine Taleb and Ricky Rainey in the UFC. Those guys are no longer with the promotion. So when I look at Muslim Salikov by KO at plus 300 fighting Li Jingliang, I mean, that does kind of tickle my fancy in one way, because Li Jingliang has literally been knocked out 5 times, I believe. And that's, I don't believe I'm exaggerating.
Not knocked down 5 times.
No, but and he's been, no, I think he's been
knocked out.
Never knocked out? Oh, he was knocked down 5 times. To the submission losses. Okay. And then the interesting thing with Muslim Salikov, inversely, is that his 2 losses are only by submission. He hasn't, I mean, maybe you're saying, like you said, maybe he lost that decision to Zaleski Dos Santos, but he hasn't technically lost a decision yet. Only by submission. And Li Jingliang is not necessarily known for his submission wins. So banking on, right? Yeah, it's a right. So banking on Li Jingliang to outpace him to a decision is tough. How about you just bet the fight to go the distance and I don't have to pick a side in this sketch ball? So the fight to go the distance is on FanDuel, it's minus 108. And on DraftKings, it's minus 120. So minus 108 on FanDuel kind of has my fancy a little tickled. What do you think, Andrew? Is that a little square?
No, I like that look. I'm not confident from a side here. I think Salikov's slight favorite is probably about right. He's the better technical striker, but he doesn't always throw a ton, and he's getting up there in age, so I'm definitely not looking to lay this kind of chalk on him. I am picking him to win, though. I do think if you're going to make a bet on this fight, the over 2.5 goes the distance is probably the way to go. I haven't bet it myself yet, but if you put a gun to my head and said bet this fight, that's how I would do it. Not always the most fun bet fun way to bet a fight, but hey, we're not here to have fun. We're here to make money. So.
But bro, you haven't, that means you haven't been watching a fight with me, watching me pace back and forth, vigorously chug Jameson and just, and lament every decision I've ever made in my whole life to get me to this exact point. And then when it, cashes, I'll be like, bro, that was the easiest shit. Why didn't I put more? So it's a roller coaster hanging out with me.
It really is, dude. Just betting any goes the distance or over is like the worst feeling in the world. Every time a punch lands, you're like, oh my God,
it's over. You're Joe Rogan. He's hurt. It's over.
Dude, I had the over 1.5 in Tuivasa versus Lewis at like +150. And it was and I typically like to bet over unders based on pace rather than like their ability. And like obviously it plays a factor if you're getting someone who's like super shot, but the pace of that fight was going so slow. And yep. I was like, this is perfect.
Perfect.
And then like a couple like 20 seconds before the over, I'm like, oh my God, why do I ever do this?
Similarly, I was so dumb. I had the Lewis Dawkins fight to start round two. And again, it was so slow. And in like 1:30 left, Dawkins was like, fuck this, let's go. And he just goes to sleep. And yeah, brutal. But the other worst one that comes to my mind, I talked about it last week, was the Andrea Lee Calvillo fight. For some reason, I laid chalk in a dumb parlay to have that fight start round three. And she's getting whooped. And I'm like, just survive. And it gets to round two. I'm like, phew, we're good. And then she doesn't come out for the round. Yeah, very fun times betting MMA. Hey, how about that time that Glover Teixeira is about to win the belt and he got choked out? How about that time? That was fun.
That was nuts.
That was so nuts. So, fight goes a distance, bro. That's the play. And otherwise, maybe like a value shot on the dog. But I'm with Andrew in terms of my circles. I'm going to wait for face-offs to see it. You actually see that with Lee with a 2-inch height and 1.5-inch reach advantage. So I want to see weigh-ins, face-offs. But I probably lean Muslim. Salikov.
Fair enough. I guess I'm the biased boy out here, but we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes.
Dude, there's nothing wrong with taking the dog shot here, but yeah, I'm just not sure that he's like gonna win per se. I'm not having you throw up no dog of the day banner. Like it ain't happening, son.
No, that's why I wasn't rushing to do it. But hey, we're on to our next fight here. We got Matt Schnell versus Sumu Derji. This fight, is this going to be the one that just takes place from distance here, or like are we banking on Matt Schnell to use his wrestling? Because like there's two very different ways that this fight could play out, but then you look and see that Matt Schnell's got like 2% control rate in his career, and you're like, all right, how much am I going to be banking on the fight to play out that other way? Listen, when he gets into the wrestling exchanges, you see with Roy Val, I mean, he knows what he's doing. It's just like, why would you jump guillotine against like a guillotine expert? Next thing you know, you're on bottom and you're shooting back for the single. And oh, now you're the one getting choked out.
It was a lazy get up. It's such a lazy. He literally leaves his neck up there. He's like literally just sitting to get up. He gives him his neck. It was really poor.
Yeah.
True, he was tired after 3 minutes of scrambling with Roy Val, but it was just a poor decision.
I mean, is Sumu Derji a step down in that regard from Brandon Roy Val? I mean, most surely. But Sumu Derji right now is a -260 and Matt Schnell is +220. So, I mean, Sumu Derji, he's probably going to be the better kickboxer overall from range. I mean, we're talking about, 6 years younger fighter. But Sumu Derji is also used to having, like, a height and reach advantage in his fights. In this fight, yeah, I mean, he's the same height as Schnell. He's only got a 2-inch reach advantage here. It's not the, 5 or 7-inch reach advantage he had on Zaruka Dashev in his last fight. And we see him get touched up a little bit. So, the question is, Schnell, is your chin going to hold up long enough in the pocket here with Sumu Derji to be able to make enough hay here? Cause you'll have your opportunities, but it's a question. Do we get aggressive Schnell and do we get wrestler Schnell? So ultimately I think we're going to settle on a different type of idea here that the guru was thinking about.
That's an interesting point. Listen, there's a lot of interesting things about Sumu Derji. Like he's obviously coming in on a 3-fight winning streak. He's got a lot of momentum. He's 26 years old. A ton of people are talking about him. He's like, I kind of got this aura of this exciting fighter, like this Shavkat Rakhmonov vibe. But is he actually Shavkat? Like, is he actually that good? Is he this impenetrable prospect? And I'm not sure that that's true, right? I'm not sure. Maybe Andrew even knows better the way in which he gets into the UFC. But he has a fight in October of 2018. He loses via sub. And then a month later, literally less than a month later, he finds himself debuting in the UFC against Luis Smoka, getting subbed. Not a great look. Smoker should probably still be in the UFC, but is currently not. He then beats Andre Sukumouth, some top, whatever the fuck that guy's name is, like no longer in the promotion, not an impressive win.
Nice.
He knocks out Malcolm Gordon in 45 seconds. Cool. He was probably having a tough weight cut. That guy's got a glass jaw. I mean, you did a good job. That's awesome. And then the Zaruka Adeshev fight. That fight was fucking sketchy. Like, he was a heavy favorite. I remember us betting him, and I remember us being happy he won. But he does not run through somebody like a heavy favorite should. He keeps his hands down super low. He's getting tagged. He's getting taken down. All I keep thinking about is Matt Schnell cracking this dude and jumping on top of him for a sub, or even like a ground and pound or something. Schnell has no KOs in the UFC. I believe only two in his entire career. But the way Sue is getting smacked by Zaru Adeshev, there's no way you can lay minus 400 on Sue here, which he nearly is, by the way. He's not minus 300. He's minus 295 on FanDuel.
What's going on, Prince?
Good to see you, Prince. So, yeah, so to me, I mean, again, maybe I'm a little square here. I think I'm dog hunting, or at least I'm prop hunting. So we liked, what did we see? We saw Schnell by KO is somehow plus 1,400, which again is just insane. And then he's by sub, he's plus 800, which is just, I think that's just a mistake by the book. So even if we're diving into grandma's couch cushions, you know, to throw a little, you know, throw a couple beans on that, that's not a problem. And I think that's the fun way to play this fight.
But the way that we're playing it, and if you follow us on BetMMA, you'll see that we have this fight parlayed not to go the distance at minus 158. And you'll see what our next piece is. So that's where we ended up on this one. Because I just said that there's some violence.
Because either way, you're right. I think there's violence no matter what. Because you look at Schnell's fights, I believe only two of his 10 or 11 UFC fights have gone the distance. Sumedarji can very easily crack Schnell, and I think that he could easily also be subbed. We haven't. It's been a way, way, way too long since we heard from Andrew. So, what do you got, buddy?
No, you guys were crushing that. Yeah, I like that. Doesn't go the distance play. I think if you put a gun to my head, Sue probably knocks him out. He's a better distance striker. He does well with keeping range, but Schnell's a good grappler. And you guys mentioned Sue getting submitted in the past. I'd have to go back and check, but I'm almost positive I bet on Sue to KO that fight in 2018 against Smolka. I'd have to go back and check, but I'm almost positive I did some kind of like hedge there of like Smolka sub and Sue KO or something like that. But yeah, that was in the early betting days. But I've watched Sue come up. He's a good striker. He hasn't really been tested in the grappling though. He had that quick knockout over Malcolm Gordon. He fought Adeshev, who's a fellow striker. So this will be an interesting test. Excuse me. It's like screwed up. But yeah, I moved to the couch because I had been like sitting in the same spot for hours. But yeah, I'm picking two here. I think knockout is probably the most likely outcome. And if you like the Schnell side, I think submission is probably the way to go. I feel like his grappling path is probably his best shot to actually get his hand raised here. And yeah, maybe we'll get some questions answered about Sue, because I definitely have some, especially in regard to his grappling and how much his game has progressed over the last couple of years.
I mean, listen, if he gets that round one KO over Schnell, though, I'm not sure how many questions we're actually going to get answered, though.
Exactly. So, yeah, I hope that plays out a little bit more than that.
Yeah, so that would be interesting. Would like to see Schnell push him in the grappling department. Would like to see him crack Sue with a, you know, like I'm saying, like his Sue with his hands down so low and throwing himself out of position. I mean, he's getting smacked by Zaruk Adeshev. I mean, it's concerning. But when you're this young, you can really tie up some of those holes fairly quickly as well. So very, very exciting fight in this featherweight division, flyweight division. I'll be okay.
Yeah. And, So great. I mean, I think we wrapped that one up very nicely. And I mean, does that mean we get to go on to our next
one? We're gonna wrap that one up like Schnell's gonna wrap up Simon Darcy's neck. Let's go. +800. Let's go.
Well, we got Daz in the chat. Schnell sub is +800 for show. So
yeah, that's that greasy. That's that. Is that that greasy submission prop of the week?
I don't know.
That's
I really don't know, to be honest with you.
The greasy, not the best sub. The greasy submission prop of the week.
Right. I mean, potentially, but
okay.
Might be another spot.
All right. Let's. I don't want to take your thunder. Let's move along.
Nah, you're all good. Hey, we got 15 people in the live chat, 16 now. Make sure you guys throw a like. Make sure you're subscribed to the channel. We really appreciate it. And make sure you guys are checking out at Bets and Picks MMA. He's got his show that he does with Magic. Make sure you guys are subscribed to that on YouTube as well. Because, I mean, thanks so much to him for coming out. Because this is how our channel grows too. I mean, it's so cool to be a part of the community and just have on all these awesome guests. So, I mean, make sure you're following Andrew Gombas at Bets and Picks MMA. And make sure you follow his YouTube channel as well, guys.
Absolutely. Yeah. The dude's absolutely killing it. Super worth the follow. Him and Magic have got a great pod they got going on. Would love to get Magic on here too at some point. He's an enigma of a guy himself.
Yeah, he loves it, dude. He would podcast all day. You should ask him. We do a show and it's been going on for like an hour, and he'll be down to just keep going. What would you like a wrestling match between Gomez and Liam's? We're not in the same weight class, so it's kind of unfair.
That's like the Khabib GSP debate, man. Come on, get a new one. Seriously. Wait, didn't that guy ask another question too? He had another question as well.
Liam's the man, though.
Liam is the man. He's
the gold standard. Thanks for hanging out, man. Would you rather bet Simone +3.5 at -200 or the over 2.5?
Is that +3.5 points? I don't even know how to do that with the round.
Like basically that he won't get 10-8'd in a round. Is essentially
sorry,
you can help me out here.
Yeah, so with the point spread, it's like total points. So if it was 30-27 on all cards, that'd be by 9 points. Or if it was 29-28 on all cards, it'd be 3 points.
Thank you.
I'm gonna tell you right now, I don't have the option to bet those. And I'll also tell you I'm so bad at math that I don't even want to. So I'm gonna lean to the second half of your bet just because that's where I would bet. What do you think, TB, or maybe Andrew, who's more well versed in that? What do you think, Andrew?
I would take the over before I took that +3.5.
Yeah, there you go.
I think you could definitely see a 30-27 in that fight, to your point. So
because even 130-27, if it's 30-27, 29-28, 29-28, like you're already over the 3.5.
That's it.
Oh wow! Yeah, exactly. Oh, dude, I'm not doing math. I can't. Oh my god!
Yeah,
no way.
No, there's
no chance of doing math.
Before he short circuits, let's go. Our most exciting
math make me angry.
This might be our most exciting fight of the night, huh? We got Shane Burgos versus Charles Jourdain. At least as far as like
it's on the short list of fight of the night for sure. What if anybody's books has those props? By the way, if you can bet this fight to be fight of the night, like I think you got a good shoe in to get that.
Yeah, I mean, for sure, Herb. Thanks for hopping in the chat, man. We really appreciate you being here.
Definitely.
Man, I totally get what you're saying. And that fight of the night idea, I mean, Shane Burgos even talks about it in his interview. But, I mean, you see, he's a taller guy here, 2 inches. He's got a 6-inch reach advantage. And for a guy that's a primary boxer that also loves smashing the leg kicks, I mean, Shane Burgos has a very clear path to getting through this fight. The big question is, all the damage he's accrued in his career, how does it add up over time? It's a great question. I mean, I love to see it play out. It's just, I really think that he just has the experience edge, the level of competition edge. And I just think he's the better fighter in that regard. So Shane Burgos -165 on DraftKings. There's a lot of value here. And I'm just super excited to see where exactly I end up on a play here, but I want to be on the Burgos side. And are you going to find a way to tell me that I shouldn't be? What do you think, Guru?
I'm certainly not going to be the one to tell you that you shouldn't be. Shane Burgos to me is one of those guys, not to the Jalen Turner level, but like one of those guys that's like big for the division, thick for the division. Like he's so strong. And the way Charles Jourdain kind of fights, it's like, obviously it's super fan friendly, but he's just kind of more like wiry and airy in the way that he's fighting. Like, he's gonna allow the distance to be closed, if that makes any sense. Like, Shane will close that distance in that dirty boxing range, push him into the clinch, push him against the cage. And have you seen that dude's back? Like, oh my God, like, he's so fucking ripped. He's just gonna be stronger than Jourdain. He's gonna be thicker than Jourdain. And I'm not sure where Jourdain is gonna be able to get it done. Like, he's gonna have to outwork Shane Burgos. And I'm not sure who can outwork Shane Burgos. I'm not sure if anybody can. Edson Barbosa, like, had to dismantle his leg and then turn off the lights in one of the craziest ways we've ever seen to get him to stop. Like, Shane Burgos hasn't fought, unfortunately, since the Billy Quarantillo fight, but the way he won that fight, and we love Billy Q out here, like, he had to outwork Billy Q, and that is not an easy fucking thing to do. Billy Q's an animal. He had to, and he kind of didn't, but, like, he had to break Billy Q. That third round was tough for Billy. He was tired. But, like, he had to break Billy to win that fight, and I think he does it in a similar way against Jourdain here. So I liked Burgos, and TB helped me nail this a little bit further. We get the Burgos line in the over 1.5 because, yeah, Burgos is a finisher, but Jourdain's tough. Jourdain's game, and Burgos' finishes have all come in the third round, other than his armbar one against Kurt Hullabaloo. I don't want to pronounce that. If I haven't pronounced it, I'm not good at it. I mean, if I haven't practiced it, I'm not as good at pronouncing it. I do a lot of practicing, guys, for the show. So, Andrew, what do you think, buddy?
Yeah, I'm rounding out the Jourdain train, or excuse me, the Burgos train here. I like Shane. I think he's a much better pocket boxer. He can be hit, and I get the criticism, but his cardio is great. His output's great, and I just don't think Jourdain can hang with him in the pocket here. I think Burgos is going to pull away late, and I think he's going to get the victory. So I think there's a little bit of value on the line. I took -155 at Circa. I think that should be closer to -200. So picking Burgos, the bet is Burgos, and yeah, he's a fun fighter to watch. So looking forward to that one on Saturday.
Yeah, I think ultimately that's a best bet territory for us this week. I think we end up probably playing the money line, and in addition, Burgos plus over 1.5 on DraftKings at +110 is like a chronic combat special. You got to get those fight parlays. So you go all the way to the right and you pick it up in DraftKings. If you're in Jersey, sometimes in New York, you got to build your own parlays. So they let you do the same game parlay. So, but for us, they build the fight parlays ahead of time. So we go ahead, we do Shane Burgos, and over 1.5 or +110, we'll probably have 1 to 2 units on that, as well as enough to win 1 or 2 units on the money line. So make sure you follow us on BetMMA to see where we end up ultimately.
Yeah, and Andrew, thank you so much for mentioning that, because it would have been a disservice to not mention Shane Burgos' lack of head movement and his ridiculously bad striking defense. I mean, it would just be disingenuous to the handicapping. Like, we get super excited that we're clearly on his side, but that doesn't mean, and it's going to be the right side, but that doesn't mean that we don't say the obvious. And that's something that definitely needs to be touched on, because not only that, I mean, he, like I kind of alluded to, but didn't make the case for Jourdain. Jourdain likes to mix it up. He will throw body shots. He will throw leg kicks. Edson Barbosa helped dismantle him with leg kicks. So part of Jourdain's path to victory would be smashing that leg kick, hurting him to the body, hurting him to the head. But like we said, Burgos is a tank. He's bigger. I think he should be stronger, should win the fight. But I'm glad you said that.
Yeah, I will say on the flip side, he does a good job, even though he can be hit. He like rolls with the punches. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but he does a good job of kind of like letting it slide off, letting it bounce off. Like when he's getting hit, he's not getting like brutally cracked. Like he is getting touched up. He's not getting smashed. But yeah, I do like Burgos here. And he's taken beatings before, so I mean, if all of a sudden his chin's cracked, so be it. I just haven't seen any evidence of that, especially in a fight with Billy Q in his last bout where he just took it, but he dished it out way more. And I read a stat that Shane Burgos is 6-0 when fighting in New York. So
Love that stat. I love ridiculous stats like that that don't necessarily have much bearing, but literally have all the bearing. I love that. And Yo Yabba, man, Yo Yoba. Listen, man, them be fighting words. Listen, let's pop some popcorn. Let's pop some popcorn and see what happens, man. That's super exciting. Listen, and you know, I feel comfortable about my position. You're the one on the with the chutzpah, taking the dog. So I respect that
for sure. And I will say, hey, maybe there's something we can think of. Like, I think the shoeies a bit played out at this point.
No shoeies.
But I think we could figure out something fun. Maybe if we lose this Burgos bet, we do a little something on there next week. I don't know. We'll figure something out. That could be fun.
Something.
A little bit with you or something.
Yeah. Maybe a little Backstreet Boys or something. Who knows?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. So not that we wouldn't do that in our normal podcasting.
Yaba, are you Canadian? Is that why you're saying Canada's going to smash New York? I just need to understand.
All right. Fair enough.
I'm just curious.
Hey, we appreciate you being here, man. And
my cats are named Terrence and Philip. I'm partial to Canadians. They're cool.
I love it, man. So, let's get on to our next fight here. I think we broke that one down well, and I'm super excited to watch it. And I know everyone's just as excited for Lauren Murphy versus Misha Tate.
Jesus.
So, okay, well, realistically here, I mean, Lauren Murphy came out today with like the, I had this serious medical condition going into the Shevchenko fight. But, I'm just thinking overall, Lauren Murphy is kind of like, she just isn't explosive in any which way athletically, and she doesn't ever like clearly win fights except for against like Lilia Shakarova because she choked her out. But like aside from that, I mean, we're talking split decision city all over the place. I mean, okay, Mara Romella Barella, okay, great, you knocked her out in round 3-2, but like Lauren Murphy overall is just not one of those fighters that, I mean, she lost in distance striking to Shakarova and ends up getting the submission. But you're losing from distance against the regional fighter that was known for their wrestling. Like, I'm entering all my stats here, and I'm like, are you kidding me? She absorbs more than she's landed. For someone that just fought as a title contender, you think your stats would be good enough before you fought, Shevchenko that, they wouldn't be flipped over. But that's just not the case. Then again, Misha Tate at the same time, I'm not going to say she's going to blow you out of the water on the feet or anything like that. It's just I think she knows her skill levels a little bit better. And she has a little bit more athleticism, and she's coming down from a bigger weight class to kind of where she should have been. So now Misha Tate coming in, this is a fight where she's not giving up, a ton of height and reach like that last fight against Vieira, where she even kind of matched her in the distance striking. So overall to that point, I just see this as being, Misha Tate, welcome to the flyweight division and see how this goes dropping down. But I think she sees a pretty clear path to victory here just by landing the more effective strikes or being able to have the more effective control, because she's just more efficient overall in that regard. But you go and you look at the money line, and that's where you're like, all right, like, is that really what I want to do? Because earlier in the week I go Guru, Misha Tate -170. It might be a little wide before I started really looking into it. And then I go like, that seems about right. And the next thing you know, a couple of days later, I was like, let's wait. Let's see the weigh-in. Now it's -205 already.
-220 on FanDuel.
Exactly. But Guru is going to go through his breakdown, and I'm going to let him drop our play on you because, it's the second leg of the parlay here. And, what is it exactly that we're going to do to cut into some of this value?
Yeah, listen. So one of the things that you'd be worried about with Misha Tate, right, is her taking a ton of damage, right, or getting finished, essentially. But when have we seen Lauren Murphy inflict a ton of damage on somebody, right? Like, her win versus Joanne Wood is a split decision that, maybe she didn't even win. The Lilian Shakarova fight, have we even seen that girl since? Like, I don't know where she is. So she's quite suspect as well. I feel like Misha Tate's taking a fairly strategic approach to this fight, and I like it going over, right? I think if what I would want to do if I wasn't gonna have to bet a side, which I'd probably prefer to, is the fight's kind of going the distance. So I'm gonna take the fighter I really do think's going to win with Misha Tate, and I'm going to go with the over 1.5. Or actually, no, we liked it better on FanDuel because of the odds. It's a round 3 or decision prop at minus 125. Right, TB? Was that what we...
Yeah, so we ended up doing a little parlay. Comes out to plus 193.
The first leg being?
So I'm going to pull up our bet MMA here. So that was the first leg that we gave out before with... Oh, shit. Did we get to that one?
Or did you not?
I was thinking about the wrong fight. Hold on. Let's make sure. So we had... It was the match Chanel and Sumu Derji does not...
Right. Minus 158.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Right.
That was -58 with
Major Tate. Exactly. We like getting our plus money out here. So we threw that together instead of throwing like 1.6 to win one and another separate 1.25 to win one. We're going to throw down the one together to try to win like a 1.93 here. It's like I don't want that much exposure overall on the Tate side, but I felt like it was a good enough read overall. But Andrew, where are you sitting on this fight?
I thought I was going to like Lauren Murphy a lot more in this fight that, pre-tape than I did post-tape. Tate in her mid-30s after retirement coming down to 125 smells like a recipe for disaster. That being said, Lauren Murphy's 3 years older than Misha Tate, so she's pushing 40 herself. I think Murphy's physical for the weight, but I do think Tate's a little bit more athletic. She's the better wrestler here. On the feet, I think it's close. I don't know. If you put a gun to my head, I would say Murphy's the side. It is not a strong conviction. I mean, it's kind of nuts to think that if Tate wins this fight, she's going to go into a fight with Valentina. So I don't know how safe that is. But yeah, I think that Murphy's probably the side here. It's not a strong conviction. I do favor Tate outright. So picking her to win, but it's not a strong take on my end.
Yeah, I there's no reason to be like 5 units deep, half your bankroll deep into this fight. Like, it's fucking sketchy. Oh, Eric Betts fights in the building. What up, brother? You literally just missed it, bro. Pull up PC Sean Strickland's fucking comment again. That was literally the comment of the year, bro. You're fucking hysterical. So thank you so much for being here. That's literally amazing.
Oh yeah, we love him, man. Friend of the show.
Yeah. So that's it for this fight. I'm Gucci on it. What do you guys think?
Good on my end.
Let's do it.
Yeah. All right. Let's spell names correctly as we move on to our next fight. We got Punahele Soriano versus Dalcha Champ Lunjambula. Dalcha, you know, we're gonna have some inherent bias here because we bet Dalcha in his last fight against Cody Brundage. We're watching that first round. And, you talk about being on, you know, death's doorstep and then jump the ghillie. It's like the Dustin Poirier method, apparently. And there's Cody Brundage pulling out the victory. Dalcha, yeah, not even fighting the hands. Immediate gassage, just tapping, tapping, tapping. And that's like one of those lessons you learn. But now we got Brundage the line there in this fight.
Yeah, that was a smart pick, picking Brundage. We at least tried to make up for it by taking Brundage last week.
There you go. That was solid.
Yeah, that definitely helps.
We learn, you know.
Shout out Cody. Shout out Cody for getting that dub and being on the on those guys' show last week, Lou Betcha and them. That was awesome.
Oh, that was sick. Yeah, I mean, you got to check out Weezy and Lou Betcha. They had Cody Brundage on live before his fight. He called it, you know. He said he was getting the finish, so you gotta love that. But in this fight, you got Punahele Soriano -225. The line has closed up a bit. He was closer to
close up huge.
Yeah, and now it's +190 Dalcha. I lean towards the line movement. But at the same time, I understand why Soriano is favored, but I don't really want to play a side in this fight because I think we found another winning prop.
Another one
this time for plus money, so we could play it solo. So, Guru, how about you take us away once again?
Take it away, that special place, so sweet. I'm just going crazy.
You know, see, maybe that's not the best, like, losing challenge, because
I just sing all the time because I'm insane. All right, so this fight's super-duper sketchy to me, and let me tell you why. Like, for whatever reason, right, Puna is now a -245, which I guess is coming back down to earth. But, like, wasn't he, like, -400, like, a sneeze ago? Like, at least -350. This line has come crashing back down towards Earth. And it makes sense to me because I was thinking to myself, what in God's green earth has Puna done to earn this sort of price tag? Nothing. Nothing at all. Losing a split decision to Nick Maximov, getting wrestled in low output, literally getting beat on the feet. You could call it 29-28. I'd call it 30-27, Brendan Allen. Not a good look, right? And he knocks out the absolute trash cans of Dusko Todorovic and Oscar Pachota. Like, yeah, these guys are, you know, fighters, MMA level, you know, fringe UFC level competition, whatever, but their chins, like, these guys went down like a sack of potatoes, and they're not known for, you know, their durability. So I'm not impressed. Color me not impressed. You know, Brendan Allen is somebody I'd, if you really wanted to talk about Punahali Soriano's amazing knockout ability, he shouldn't have been knocking out Brendan Allen, but he wasn't. He's a low output, like division two wrestler that doesn't like to wrestle. It's super. And he's got terrible takedown defense. Super duper sketchy. And then you go to the Dalcha side, and Dalcha has that judo background, right? So he's like a low key wrestler in his own right that similarly doesn't necessarily want to wrestle. He certainly wrestles more at 2 takedowns per 15 minutes. It's just like not necessarily where he butters his bread. And then he's like this like huge refrigerator jack motherfucker, and he's got hands like pillows. He doesn't finish, and he doesn't knock out anybody at all. He just doesn't do it. He's throwing a million strikes at Cody Brundage, and the dude's fine. Like, he was tired, but he was ready to keep going. Like, he wasn't, like, he maybe got staggered, right, for a minute there, but Tommy's fine. He got surprised by something. This fight's going the distance. Nobody wants to hear that. And I feel like I've been saying it all night. Maybe in a small octagon, I could eat my words. But Dalcha, his one knockout loss.
We got the big octagon this weekend.
Thank you. I'm so used to saying small octagon. Yeah. Exactly. Big octagon this week. That totally helps my read. Thank you so much. His only knockout loss is to Magomed Ankalaev for a front kick in fucking round three. Okay, bro, you get a pass. It's all good. Like, otherwise, he's lost by two sub losses and a decision. Okay. Like, let's go, homie. I'm taking a plus, you know, plus 200 dog here. Let's ride. Or, like I said, this fight's going the distance because these guys are not finishing anybody. I don't need to take a sketchy side or pay some crazy vig. Let me get plus 150 if fight goes the distance. What do you think, Andrew? Are we on it?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have a strong take on this fight. I just, like, I've seen a few people I respect on the dog, but Dalcha, it's just like his cardio looked worse than ever in his last fight. He can be low volume, which I think the low volume piece kind of helps your bet there. Soriano, he can crack, but a lot of that's probably, I mean, his gas tank's not great either. So, I mean, it's like if you could survive some of those big exchanges early, it might just kind of turn into a staring contest late. So I have no plays. I think, again, I'm endorsing that over 2.5 fight goes the distance. So if I'm not on it myself, I'll be rooting for you guys.
Well, I appreciate that a lot. And listen, I guess we can cross out Dusko and Oscar as two fighters we're going to get on the podcast. But I just want everybody to know is, listen, as we continue to gain more momentum, I always talk in hyperbole. I have nothing but respect for all MMA fighters, anybody that's ever stepped foot. Shit, even if you step foot in the fucking gym to go train, like, I honestly do. I respect that so much. I respect any fighter that gets in the cage. These guys, the girls, the flyweights, they're going to kick my ass. Like, for real, I want no smoke with anybody. Believe me, it would be nothing but respect if I saw, and I'd want to pick with Dusko. He's a fucking UFC fighter. Are you kidding me? Like, so nothing but respect for them. So I do talk in hyperbole. Dude, like, right? He's got his screen recorded and he sent it to him right now on IG. So I'm fucked.
That's it, man. But yeah, let's move on to this next fight. We got Ricky Simon versus Jack Shore. This is another one of those fights that, like, holy shit, man. Like,
oh my God. Sick fight. Sick. This is the fight nerds main event. This is like, yeah. Yeah, these are the fights that we truly do live for. This is that hashtag prelim gang. Like, this is a sick fucking fight.
Crazy it's on the prelims, right?
It doesn't deserve to be at all. I mean, maybe they'll rearrange it and they'll be smart and they'll make it the headlining prelim. But, like, no, they're disrespecting our boys here.
Yeah, I mean, pretty crazy. But ultimately, I mean, there's only three total losses between the two of them, and all of them are to Ricky Simon. I mean, that Uriah Faber knockout kind of sits in your mind. The loss to Rob Font just...
And my wallet.
Yeah, super tough on those. So, you know, it's a little tough to, you know, do whatever. But, I mean, we're talking about this awesome fight, how close it's going to be. And then, naturally, I'm sitting here looking at that plus money on Ricky Simon, but the line just keeps on closing. And, you know, I can't but help but feel like at the end of the day, Jack Shore is the one getting his hand raised for a 29-28. I think Simon can have success. I think his boxing is really good. I think Shore is probably the better athlete. He has the size advantage. And, I mean, he drops Timur Valiyev a couple times, you know, on the back foot. You know, we see Jack Shore really kind of put together the overall game plan here. I think also, you know, we've seen him, you know, improve with that control. But, you know, you never really see him go out of his way to put himself in bad positions to go for the control. So the thing is that, now with Ricky Simon, you got to imagine he's going to be able to scramble out of bad positions. He's only been controlled for 4% of his career.
Yeah.
So really, this fight probably is going to
be like
a Saruki and Gamrot type of deal.
Yeah.
As far as one guy's going to go in to try to initiate the grappling, the other is going to be able to stymie it or reverse and then kind of rinse and repeat. So at the end of the day, if we're taking place from distance here, I mean, Shore seems to have, you know, the better accuracy to defense ratio here. He's got the size. He's a couple of years younger. And, you know, you see the undefeated fighter. So I lean towards him. It's just a minus 155. Like, naturally, my heartstrings are tugging towards Ricky Simon. He's got a little bit more experience in the UFC. He's faced the higher competition.
Definitely.
So really, I am not playing the side on this fight, although my pick is Jack Shore. I will say that ultimately, it's the fight goes the distance at the minus 190. That'll find its way into some parlay or another if I don't play it straight.
Yeah, you capped it really, really well. Like we said, it's a super, super exciting fight. I honestly have a feeling that that's actually a really good point, that Ricky definitely has that kind of little bit more of a scrappiness, more like franticness to him. But Jack Shore is like super calm. He's very good at managing distance. I really feel that this very well could be a, like you said, a wrestling stymate type fight where they may not even grapple that much. Like, they might just stand, like, they just may know that the grappling is, you know, when the grappling negates, you're striking now. So if it's a striking match, I like you said, I kind of like the 29-28 scorecard perfectly. I think Ricky Simon wins that first round. Timur Valiyev won the first round versus Jack Shore, so not great. And I think Jack Shore can kind of piece him up as Ricky starts to let those big muscles fill with lactic acid, as Joe Rogan likes to highlight. So, yeah, similarly, I think it's lined fairly, which makes me not want to really play anything, like, all the way around. So I just like Jack Shore. Maybe Andrew's got something super sharp for us here. I definitely want to hear his breakdown on this because, again, it's such an exciting fight.
No, man, I wish I did. I agree with you guys. I think Shore is a slight favorite. Probably makes sense. I think he's a little bit better technically, a little bigger. I know, again, this is a fight where it seems like there's a lot of people on the dog, but the line hasn't really budged. If anything, it's went towards Shore. I agree with it. I think slight favorite Shore is fine. Both these guys, I think, are underrated in the division overall. I was on Shore against Valiyev last fight as an underdog. I wish he was an underdog in here. I'd probably be on him again, but seems like the market's caught up a bit. So I'm fine with enjoying this one. I think it likely goes the distance. I'll say 29-28 Shore type of fight.
We love that, man. We need to be able to bet those exact scorecards somewhere. That's like, like, you know, you can bet those exact basketball scores or football scores. Whatever the fuck, we need to be able to bet that. That'd be cool.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
That's
a Adelaide Bird.
Adelaide Bird. 30-27 the other way.
oh my God. And that's the beauty of MMA and the dangers. So we go on to our next fight here. Welcome back, Herbert Burns. You made it, buddy.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's been a minute.
Wow. He was like one of those COVID darlings, took an L, and then he had an injury. And now it's been forever since we've really seen him in there. So, you know, I'm really curious, you know, are those cardio concerns fixed as a guy that's now 34? And, you know, now, you know, we're up at, you know, it's 145 here. There was some switcheroos, right? It was supposed to be a 135 fight for him. And then his opponent drops out. And now he's fighting up at 145 against Aljo. Is that what happened?
Oh, geez. That's probably sounds about right. He was supposed to fight. I don't even know who the guy he was supposed to fight was making his debut. The guy he was supposed to fight was making his debut, and it actually does look like he's going to beat a guy 3-0, 7-0, 10-4, 25-13. Yeah, wow. I'm very excited. I would have rather seen this guy fight, but obviously he pulled out, I think, last week.
Yeah, so here we are. Bill Algeo now -200 and Burns +170. I do think Bill Algeo, you know, should be the favorite. The line might be a little wide, but I just couldn't see myself playing the money line per se. What I would say is that this is one of those fights where I don't normally do this, but it's one of those round prop fights. So Herbert Burns round one at +550 or Bill Algeo round three at +1,000. I think Burns will survive the grappling exchanges. The question is, like, could Bill Algeo like get the ground and pound that Pineda had? Could he hurt him on the feet the same way? That's worse. Like, could Algeo even finish anybody at this point in the UFC? That's another question. Every single one of his fights has gone to decision. So can a Bill Algeo fight even be finished inside the distance? to that regard, like, should this really just be
maybe he's like, due?
fight goes the distance +120.
Well, so
because that Burns has never been the distance and Algeo has only been the distance. So that's the question. What do you think happens here?
Yeah, when an unstoppable force meets an immovable object, what happens? I like Bill Algeo to win the fight. He's the more active fighter personally in his career, and he's the more active fighter inside the cage. He has an incredible amount of pace and pressure. He can fight, of course, importantly, moving forward, and very impressively, like many fighters cannot. He fights moving backwards. He can strike moving backwards. It was one of the most impressive things I saw in his fight against Yoanderson Brito. He is hurting that guy because that guy's a fucking bull, running through people, crushing people like Andre Feely. And instead, Algeo's like Andrew had mentioned before, with a different fighter, right? Rolling with those punches. So Algeo's rolling with those punches and countering and fighting, moving backwards. And it's fucking impressive. So I'm not sure exactly what Herbert Burns is going to do to Bill Algeo other than submit him that Bill hasn't seen before, that he's not going to be ready for, that he won't be better than him at. So I like Bill Algeo round three decision at +130. And you know how I feel about that plus money. So you already, I'm titillated. Andrew, what do you got?
Yeah, I think the line is more or less right here. I think a lot of Burns win equity is early on. I think he needs to find a submission. Algeo does wind up in bad spots on the mat here and there, but I think the more this fight gets extended, he's a better striker. He's a better cardio. So I'm picking Algeo to win. Not a super strong take. I'm not that high on Burns, but again, Algeo is not the kind of guy I'm looking to lay -200 on. So it's a pass for me at the moment, but I am picking Bill Algeo to get it done. And to your guys' point earlier, I would have liked to see those initial matchups stay together.
Yeah, agreed. And we were supposed to have the Bill versus Bill fight. Billy Quarantillo was supposed to make his return versus Bill Algeo. Similarly, I think if you like Herbert Burns, the grouping of round one or two Herbert Burns at +350 is like fairly juicy as well.
All right. Well, this is the one that the people have been waiting for. This is the one.
I've stirred the pot on Twitter accidentally on this one.
Yeah, so I mean,
honestly, was it an accident though? Was it really?
I don't know.
No, dude, it really is. Like, I'm at the point. I don't know how long anyone's followed me on Twitter or if at all before, but like, I used to like tweet like my analysis before the fight and like why I think XYZ fighters are gonna win. And like, the last like couple of years, I just like haven't done that. There's like nothing good that comes out of it. Right. I just do my thing, and like once the fight happens, I'll read my result, and that's that. But I kind of broke that rule today, and people were just going nuts. Like I didn't even like. I guess I just have a bigger following now, and it's regardless of what I tweet. If it's before the fight, it just sparks like huge debate in the comments. So I really can't even do it anymore. But yeah, that's how this whole thing got started. But there's definitely some people that are against me now. So I'm curious to hear what you guys have to say on the fight.
I mean, that whole spirited debate is like the principle of our show, though. It's like, you know, we want it all to be spirited. No trolls, no hate tweets, none of that stuff. We want it all spirited and fun. There's too many of those trolls and that hate bullshit. But like, we want it all spirited. We love that breakdowns. You know, we're somebody that generally don't post too much of our breakdowns because we just want you to come listen to the pod. But, you know, I'm sure you've gotten to that as well. This fight, though, I feel like it has a similarity to a fight. What was it like 2 weeks ago with Tafan and Chukwe, in the same way, like he was the cute dog. He was the darling dog of the week. And everybody's like, oh, this makes sense. Plus 110. That's great. Oh, plus 105. That's cute. Oh, plus 100. I guess that makes sense. He's minus 130 on fight day and getting knocked the fuck out in 6 seconds. Like, you know what I'm saying? So like this kind of starting to smell like that to me, and maybe, and you know, maybe that's how you're feeling too. Like Don Jung was like, oh, okay. Plus 110, plus 115. Okay. That kind of would make sense. Dustin Jacoby's won all these fights in a row. I guess you know, he could maybe wrestle and clinch, and you know, it might make sense for him to win. And then this line starts tumbling and tumbling, and all the Twitter dweebs come out from the closet and their grandma's basement and start hating on our boy Andrew and his breakdowns. It's like, bro, like, can't you see that this line is getting a little out of hand now? How is Dustin Jacoby a plus money make sense now? Like just like logically, like the dude is great at maintaining distance. He's shown a decent chin. He's shown decent takedown defense, not very good at all, but he's shown a good way to fight back up to the feet. Yeah, Don Jung can wrestle, but one thing you've seen from Don Jung is really poor fight IQ, right? That Gregory Rodriguez fight was really unfortunate. Or am I thinking I'm thinking the wrong guy. I'm thinking of who the fuck am I thinking of? I'm thinking of Jung-Yong Park. That was horrible.
Oh my god,
that was terrible. The Sam Alvey fight was the fight that is, you know, a terrible look for him with the
cardio. That was a freaking robbery.
Yeah, that's bad. That's a bad look.
That was the most like I think they were drunk off 10-8s at that point.
Because, yeah, there was one judge. Yeah. There was one judge that gave him a 10-8, and that was the difference between a draw and a win. I was like, I couldn't believe it. That round was not a 10-8 round.
No. Yeah. And I'm not sure how you could give him either round one or round two. And that's the thing. I think Dong Jung has been outstruck in every single round in his UFC career, essentially. Even the ones where he's knocking people down and winning. Like Mike Rodriguez landed 4 out of 8 strikes, and Dong Jung landed 1 out of 6. But the one he landed was the elbow, and boom, you know. And then on the ground, you know, he lands his 4 out of 4, but I mean, in all reality, from distance, Mike Rodriguez wins on the numbers. So if this fight goes the distance, there's no question in my mind. I mean, Jacoby wins on the numbers from distance. You know, you got to imagine he's taking a fight that he'll be kicking again this fight. I don't see why he wouldn't be. You know, he goes into the last fight, and that was something like, oh, you know, they're talking about it all broadcast. Oh, he's not kicking. Yeah, I mean, that was a huge deal. I mean, and the other thing is that he keeps his head on the center line. He got knocked down a couple of times against Maxim Grishin. And, you know, Kudelaba is able to, you know, wrestle, you know, rinse, wash, repeat. All these guys could threaten the wrestling on a consistent basis. You know, Jung is going to be a guy where he only really did that consistently against William Knight. I think he'll threaten the clinch consistently. But as far as getting the takedowns, he doesn't really have – I mean, it's all Greco. It's not – he's not going for singles or anything like that. So going for trips on a bigger guy that has solid hips and, like, has shown those improvements. Then, I mean, Dong Jung is not a better wrestler than Yuan Kudelaba. There's just not, that's not, you know,
it's just not true.
At the end of the day, Okay, but I agree. If there's the way that Dawen Jung wins this fight, it's knockout. 100%. It would be a knockout. Like, that is the win condition. So that's why, actually, my bet for this fight, I know Jacoby's at +105. That is extremely solid, but it's not good enough for me because I think the knockout is dead-ass serious. That's why I couldn't be playing a side this week. Decision only, -135 for Jacoby. There's plenty of value still on that. I'm taking it. So that'll be what I
do. So essentially, if
Dawen Jung is -125, but I would just play like a round one knockout, because if he's going to get it done, it's going to be, I don't think like he's going to build as the fight goes on. I think he would get more frustrated. He's heavy on his front foot. So if Jacoby can kick, he's going to be fucking like laying into that front foot, the lead leg of Jung. So that's my thought on this one.
That's an excellent, excellent read. Excellent breakdown to me. Andrew, anything to add?
Yeah, I'm glad we're finally here, because I don't have a ton of bets this week, but this one I'm nuclear on. I think maybe it's a hot take, but I think Jacoby's gonna look like a big favorite here. I pride myself on getting closing line value, and I got reverse CLV'd this week, which I hate when that happens. I would say like 9 or 9.5 out of every 10 fights I'm getting good closing line, and I went the opposite way this week, but my flag has been planted. I think Jacoby's going to look like a huge favorite here. Dawen Jung really should have lost a 15-minute decision to Sam Alvey. Yes, that Sam Alvey who's on a 7-fight losing streak. He was getting outlanded by Kadys Ibrahimov, who's, again, what else do I really need to say?
He's the worst.
By Ibrahimov, by Alvey. I bet him against Knight, and those garbage trips were working. I don't think they're going to work here. Kudalaba took down Jacoby 8 times. He got right back up every single time. I don't think he holds Jacoby down for long periods of time. Mm-mm. Jung, heavy on the front leg in that wide cage. I think Jacoby's going to be dictating distance all night. Landing the jab, landing some leg kicks. I think he's going to look like a clear favorite here. I don't get this line movement at all. I was wrong on where the line is going to go, but I have a feeling I'm going to be right about the fight. So we'll see.
I love that, and that's kind of where my original random story about the line movement started. It's like I like Jacoby here as a plus money favorite. Jeez Louise, I'm all over the place. Plus money underdog, +105. I mean, that's value to me. The dude has shown some serious chops, and I'd love to see that win streak keep going. So I think that's where he does it. Like, I mean, you even look at his wins, the win over Nzechukwu, like, is that even that are we super impressed by that? Like, Nzechukwu, yeah, he just beat Robertson, but like Robertson also just got cut. So it's like, I don't know. It's the bottom of the barrel, man. You're supposed to finish that guy. So definitely an interesting fight. He's going to have a tough out in Jacoby, because Jacoby does not just, you're not just going to finish Jacoby in 2 minutes with with standing elbows. It's going to take more than that.
I want to say thanks to the new subscribers, Tone Brown, Vane Nupo, Ford. Thanks for subscribing to the channel, guys. Make sure if you're in the chat now, throw a like on the video if you're enjoying it. Make sure you leave a comment with what your best bet is in the comment section, and make sure you subscribe to the channel. I would really appreciate all your guys supporting that and everyone joining us, and especially our special guest, Andrew Gombis. Make sure you're following him as well. At Bets and Picks MMA, and we're ready to roll here. We got 2 more fights, guys, so let's get this thing going, because I know Guru's got a take for this one. We got a Dwight Grant fight. We got Dwight Grant versus Dustin Stoltzfus. Dwight Grant at -135, Stoltzfus at +115, and I'm ready to stir it up a little bit, because I got Dwight Grant here at -135, and I don't know why I am, but I'm like confident in that. But that doesn't mean I'm laying a big bet or anything, because at the end of the day, Guru, take it away.
My breakdown is not, it's nothing super fucking technical. I said it the last time Dwight Grant was fighting. I don't like Dwight Grant. I think he's poopies. Like, sorry, Dwight, we're not going to have you on the show. I get it, whatever. I'll buy you a beer if you're offended. I'm sorry. But, bro, like, you're just, it's not good. The split decision loss to Trinaldo, poopies. I wanted to bite. I wanted to bet Sergey, what's the fuck? How do you pronounce that name? Kondroshko. I wanted to bet Sergey at at -110, even money, so badly. I texted TB, I want to bet this guy. He's like, why? I'm like, because he's fighting Dwight Grant. He's like, that's it? I'm like, I don't have to know who it is. Even money. I'm getting a coin flip that this dude beats Dwight Grant. I'm in. Let's go. And we didn't do it. And he ended up winning. It was a sketchy-ass fight where they both knocked each other down. But Sergey got it done, so I was at least happy about that. Dustin's due for a win, baby. 0-3. Like, this is the fight. He wins this fight for no reason, and we still got to do tape on him. This is how this shit happens. So, like, let's go, Dustin. Let's go plus money, more than a coin flip, on a guy that doesn't fucking throw. His win condition is a knockout, and he doesn't fucking throw. At all. He keeps his hands down super low. He gets tired. Like, what? At 38 years old, why? Like, Backstreet Boys, tell me why. Like, I don't get it. No. Yeah, like, ain't nothing gonna make me bet on Dwight Grant. Like, it's not happening. So, maybe Andrew's got something sharp for us.
No, not really. I mean, I feel like this fight's hard to read. I'm picking Grant just because I think Stoltzfus is stupid hittable on the feet. But if he can get the grappling going, I don't know. Like I said, it's not a strong conviction. I feel like these Dwight Grant fights are kind of hard to predict. At this point, like, he's getting up there in age. He doesn't always throw a lot of volume, but he has that power. And Stoltzfus is just so defensively liable. So the pick is Grant. The confidence level is not super high.
You know what? Now that I go, I'm going to go a step further. I'm going to go one step harder. Like, why are we so hard on Dustin Stoltzfus? Seriously. Like, okay, he hasn't looked great. Okay, let's look at his competition. He wins on the Dana White Contender Series in one of the weirdest fights ever. The dude, he slams him, the dude gets hurt, whatever. We're going to move past that. Okay. He loses a unanimous decision to Kyle Daukaus. Okay, Kyle's not great per se, but they were pushing Kyle. Like, he's a legitimate fighter. He's going to be back after his injury. He loses by sub to Rodolfo Vieira, like, who was patient and worked on his cardio and his striking and was specifically adamant that he wasn't going to gas out in that fight. And he almost did. And he catches him in a third round sub. The black belt Hunter got a sub. Okay. And then he fights Gerald Meerschaert. Again, same idea. Like, he's winning against Gerald Meerschaert. And Gerald is able to snatch victory out of the jaws of defeat with getting sub in the third round. That's what that guy does. Okay. To me, that's like three passes. You lose your debut against a good fighter, okay, and two subs against guys that are known for getting subs and pulling wins out of their ass. Okay. Let's roll. You should beat fucking Dwight Grant here. Like, he's trash. I'm sorry, Dwight. Like, it's just... I think he's really got a shot to, like, I really do. Unless he's completely, completely not UFC material, he has a real shot in here, and the shot is way liver than plus 135. Just has to be. Because Dwight Grant has shown you for sure in 9 UFC fights that he is that bad. Losing a split decision to Zach Otto. Losing a split decision to Francisco Trinaldo. Barely winning a split decision over Stefan Sekulic. Barely winning a split decision over the corpse of Alan Joban. Like, he has his knockout win over Carlo Pendersoli. What? What? Dude, come on. That's who you're putting. Don't even disrespect grandma's couch cushions with your Dwight Grant bullshit. Like, it's Dustin or bust, baby. Let's roll.
Damn, man. Listen, Mac, we appreciate you being here. You're right, man. Guru, coming with that heat here. Yeah, I agree. Francisco's not a bad loss.
He's a million years old. He's a million.
Oh, no. Yo-Yo, but don't bring up Danny Roberts. Oh, no.
No, no. No. See, Dwight Grant and Danny Roberts are that same, like, that same level of, like, you're trash. Like, get your trash. Go home. Like, go play somewhere. Go to X. Like, I'll watch you on the XMMA card on YouTube, which I'm actually excited to watch next week or something. But, like, I'll watch you there. Not in the UFC. Not UFC level. Sorry.
All right. Well, I think we had all the fun you could possibly have on that fight. For a Dwight Grant versus Dustin Stoltzfus fight, I think we surpassed the expected good time. You know,
that'll be better than the fight itself.
We should just play that over the broadcast.
Listen, that actually means a lot, man, coming from you. Because, listen, you're paid for your breakdowns, man. I respect your opinion, man. It's unbelievable having you in here and breaking this down with us, man. Seriously. No, that really does mean a lot, buddy.
What if he was Blonde Grant? Oh, no.
Oh, Blonde Grant? No. If he goes like full on Cabbage Patch Kids, like red hair, maybe then I'll believe it. He's got to go some sort of crazy fucking hair color.
All right, guys. Yeah, this is where we fucked up. So I don't got Jessica Penne.
You done goofed.
I done did it bad. I'm so sorry. But
I needed the stats here.
I know, and I'm in part. I mean, for especially her opponent wasn't gonna have any stats anyways, because
right,
no UFC fight. So actually, not the biggest deal here. But I will fix that for next time. What we got coming up though is that Jessica Penne. You know, I'm gonna have a natural bias because you know, managing an Italian restaurant for a while. Seeing Penne on the menu, you know.
That was the worst dad joke ever. Boo, boo that man. Boo.
All right. So as we come back to reality and break down this fight, I mean, Ducote's dropping the likes of Alima Lee McFarland back in Bellator like 4 years ago in the first round with an uppercut. You know, she's knocking out Danielle Taylor on the feet with the overhand right. Do I think she has enough volume to win a decision if she doesn't seriously hurt Penne? Probably not, but I think there's a good enough chance that she does. It's just a minus 150, giving up a decent amount of size. I'm not rushing to place Ducote in her debut. This is kind of like a sit back and learn. And like, I mean, Gordinha, like I love that nickname. It's so good. Like they always call me Gordito in the kitchen. So like, I definitely, you know, I connect on a deep level with Emily Ducote here. You know, we're little chunky people. We get love in the, you know, Hispanic community.
That's absolutely ridiculous, but very funny.
Oh, yeah, that's what it's like working in the kitchen, man. But yeah, so ultimately Jessica Penne plus 130, Ducote minus 150. I'll let Guru dig into grandma's couch cushions, but I'm just gonna enjoy the fight opener this week without having money on it and like see how the fight's like
not true.
Yeah, you're right. I'll put down like $5 on it. I'm like, okay.
That's all a bold right.
Try. Okay. All right. So here we go, guys. So when TB's sitting alone instead of at Guru's this week. What is he going to put $5 on before the fight?
Yeah.
Ducote knockout plus 400. That would be the bet.
I'll be in Chicago. I'll be watching the Mets play the Cubs. I'll be in the Chicago for the first time. So if anybody has any recommendations about what to do, what to see in Chicago, definitely drop that down there. I'll be super excited. War Penne. That's funny. That's cool, man. That is actually pretty cool, and it's even I'm not going to say what I was going to say.
Daz appreciates the dad jokes, okay? So,
but at least somebody does.
Maybe laughing at me and not with me.
That's
another point. So.
For sure. So one of the things with Emily Ducote, and you know, you're watching back her tape, is the way that people have tried to beat her is by wrestling with her, right? The Kanako Murata fight, she attempted 26 takedowns on Emily Ducote, and only. I believe 22, 23, some crazy number like that. Only took her down 6 of those times, ended up winning that fight. You know, you look at her names, right? She lost to Kanako Murata. That's a name you should recognize. She lost twice to Alima Leigh McFarland. That's a name you should recognize. Former Bellator champ. She beat Catherine Poprocki. That's a name you should recognize if you watch Tough this season. She lost her debut to Emily Whitmire. So, you know, that's like they're both 0-0 at the time. So, you know, you can kind of wash that one away. You could kind of hope if you're going to get a better fighter. She looked incredible in her last fight against Alicia Zapatella. I don't even know how to pronounce that girl's name. Zapatella. I think that's close. Jessica Penne could absolutely, you know, that is going to be her path. She likes to grapple. She might, you know, try to monkey and grab the neck. Get a submission. That would be the way that I would think that Penne would try to win. You look at her stats, which we don't have, but I was able to pull up. She lands 1.46 takedowns per 15 minutes, which is not very high, but her takedown attempts per 15 minutes is 7.3. So even though she's not an effective wrestler, she kind of is like a spam wrestler. Like it's what she wants to do. So when you look at that and you also look at her striking numbers, which actually are some of the worst in UFC history, I believe, landing 2.83 strikes per minute and absorbing 5.82. And at distance, pace at distance, 10.78 pace at distance, opponent pace at distance, nearly 14. So she's severely getting outlanded at distance. Emily Ducote is not a volume striker. She's patient. She's a counter striker. She's methodical. Going to be an interesting fight. I think it goes the distance. So, you know, if you're taking dog money against a fighter making their debut in a fight that I think is going to be a close decision, yeah, I don't hate that. But if Emily stuffs her bad on the takedowns, it could actually get ugly really fast. So I am very interested to see this fight play out. I am. What do you think, Andrew? How'd we do?
Yeah, I'm leaning towards the Jessica Penne side here. She has the experience. She's fought the better level of competition. She's really good jiu-jitsu. Her submission grappling game is serious for the division. Concern, obviously, her being almost 40 years old. I was on her as an underdog against Carolina. Obviously, she got that split decision win against Godinez, who everyone's really high on right now. Ducote, pretty good striker, comes from a wrestling background, but I don't know if her submission grappling's on par with Penne. I would say it's not. Just as I don't really know how you could make her -150 here. I think a pick'em's probably about right. Maybe the slightest lean to Penne, just based off of the grappling chops, based off the level of competition. Like you guys said, Ducote is not some crazy high volume striker. She's patient. She's not a bad striker, but she doesn't seem like a great striker either. I'm probably gonna let this line keep creeping up and then take the shot on Penne for a unit or so at +150 would be ideal, but not a strong conviction. I think it might be worth a small play at those odds though.
Yeah, nothing to add to that. That's just perfectly said. Yeah. Absolutely. You're gonna wait to get the most value you can on it, and you take your little stab there on the 38-year-old only 39-year-old OnlyFans Jessica Penne. Going for it. That fuck the OnlyFans fade. We're going for that.
Yeah, normally I like when the fighters are focused on fighting, but sometimes you got to bite the bullet and go where the value is regardless.
Absolutely. I think she definitely has a chance, but seriously, dude, thank you so fucking much for coming here and giving us a holler. It really means a lot.
Thank you guys. I had a good time. Guys, like and subscribe to this channel if you haven't already. Come on, get these guys some more views. Tell a friend, tweet out the link. But again, appreciate you having me. Best of luck this weekend. We'll have to do it again someday.
Yeah, guys, seriously, that's awesome. At Bets Pick Some Fights, man. Make sure you check them out. At Guru Scouting MMA, Twitter Verdict, Instagram Tapology, my amazing co-host, TV Scouting MMA. Twitter Verdict, Instagram Tapology. Make sure you check them out. Magic and Andrew's Bet MMA podcast. It's fucking terrible. I'm just butchering everything. It's fine. Just for random ass fucking dude. Yeah, listen, he's the best, man. Make sure you're following him. You guys are fucking awesome. Thanks so much for tuning in. Next week, right? We're back again, back at it, right? Who we got? We got UFC London. Again, they promised they'd go back to London because it was so lit last time. So they made it happen 3-4 months again later. Tom Aspinall headlining again versus Curtis Blaydes. And for the first time, Curtis Blaydes just currently sits at an underdog. So I was trying to get TB to bet Aspinall a month ago, at dog. And now that the line flipped, I'm like, well, do you bet Blaydes as a dog for the I believe this is the first time he'll ever be a dog, ever be a dog.
Hell yeah. I mean, thanks so much for joining, guys. Be like Yo Yoba. Make sure you guys sub to the channel. Make sure you're having a good time with us. And we're looking forward to seeing some Paddy the Body.
Paddy the Body. And listen, and Chris Curtis versus Jack Hermanson, I wanted even money on Chris Curtis. And now he's a -150, -140. Jeez. It's what the fuck do you do with that one?
We got to get Andrew out of here, man. He's got another show coming up.
He's got so much to do.
Oh, man. Thank you so much for the time, man.
Thank you, guys. I had a blast. I'll talk to you guys soon. Guys, and subscribe to these fellas. Tweet out their podcast. Subscribe. Send it to friends. Do all that good stuff. I'll talk to you soon. Thanks again for having me.
I appreciate you so much, Andrew.
Take care, man. And all right, guys. Care, everybody.
Yes, be good, everybody.